Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, contents of the Gita summarized, text number 6. Nachaitad vidma kartara nagaryo yadvadema yadi vano jayayu yan eva hadvana jiji vishamas Tevasitak pramukhe dhartarastra na nor cha also etat this vidmak do we know kartarat which na for us karya better, yatva, weather, jayema, we may conquer, yadi, if, va, or, na, us, jayayu, they conquer, yan, those who, eva, certainly, hatva, by killing, na, never. Jiji Vishama, we would want to live. Te, all of them. Avastitaha, are situated. Pramukhe, in the front. Dhritarashtra, the sons of Dhritarashtra. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. If we kill the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet they are now standing before us on the battlefield. Please repeat. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. If we kill the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet they are now standing before us on the battlefield. Purport. Arjuna did not know whether he should fight and risk unnecessary violence, although fighting is the duty of the Kshatriyas, whether he should refrain and live by begging. If he did not conquer the enemy, begging would be his only means of subsistence. Nor was there a certainty of victory, because either side might emerge victorious. Even if victory awaited them and their cause was justified, still if the sons of Dhritarashtra died in battle, it would be very difficult to live in their absence. Under the circumstances, that would be another kind of defeat for them. All these considerations by Arjuna definitely proved that not only he was a great devotee of the Lord, but he was also highly enlightened and had complete control over his mind and senses. His desire to live by begging, although he was born in the royal household, is another sign of detachment. He was truly virtuous, as these qualities, combined with his faith in the words of instruction of Sri Krishna, his spiritual master, indicate. It is concluded that Arjuna is quite fit for liberation. Unless the senses are controlled, there is no chance of elevation to the platform of knowledge. And without knowledge and devotion, there is no chance of liberation. Arjuna is competent in all these attributes, over and above his enormous attributes in his material relationships. Nachaitad vidma kartaro na garyo yadva jayema yadiva no jayu yan eva hatva na jivji vishamas tevastitak pramukhe dhartarastra. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. If we kill this under Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet they are now standing before us on the battlefield. Arjuna is speculating here. One of the stages of anishtita bhajna kriya, The first one is Utsahamayi. The other one is, it says, puffed up with enthusiasm. Thinking that I'm so enthusiastic, unlike all these other morose devotees, because I'm actually a pure devotee and they're pretending devotees. But then after some time one realizes that one is not as elevated as one thought was one was at the beginning, and therefore gana tarala. One notices that sometimes I'm very enthusiastic and sometimes I'm less than enthusiastic. And then the next stage is visaya sangara. That is viyuta vikalpa. Excessive speculation. Should I renounce everything and go to Vrindavan to make my life successful? But in order to go to Vrindavan, I have to buy a ticket, and I don't want to collect, so maybe I should get married and have my wife collect for it. But if I get married, we might have some kids. It's too much for all of us to go to Vrindavan. So maybe I should stay here and just be renounced. But if I do that, then who's going to do my laundry and cook for me? So maybe I should get married anyhow. So in this way, one is excessively speculating about what to do in devotional service. Should I chant my rounds now, or should I read? Should I go to Mangalarati, or I'm too tired? Should I finish my work I did yesterday? Or maybe I should just go back to sleep because my mind is too disturbed thinking about all these things to do. So that's called excessive speculation. Viyuta vikalpa. And Vishaya Sangara, that is war against sense gratification. Today I'm going to fast the whole day and I'm not going to take a drop of water because it's Bhima Ekadasi. Because I'm going to have a big feast, but I'm not going to take any water. So that way I'll observe Neeljal. Neeljal, no water, but a big feast of prasadam. Or maybe, and one is fat, or say one is actually not taking any prasadam the whole day, and he's looking at all the other devotees thinking, just see all these sense gratifiers. They're definitely never going to make any progress in devotional service because they're just gratifying their senses, even on Ekadasi. How sinful. And I've been here, it's been at least, I only have 23 hours left, and I can break my fast too. Now it's only 22 hours, and look at all these other devotees, they're still eating. I can't believe it. And now it's 3 hours, 59 minutes, and 2 seconds left, and then finally I can break my fast too. And then finally the time comes to breaking the fast, and the mantra is, you're up there and I'm down here, let's eat. And one eats twice as much as one normally does, just in case one has to fast for the next Ekadasi. But if one can steady oneself and observe the proper rules and regulations to the best one can do. In other words, one is stopped excessive speculation. One has realized one is not as elevated as one thought one was. One is more or less able to fulfill one's vows, but and not get too disturbed or too arrogant about it. Then the next stage is yamakshama. Inability to complete one's vows. Today I'm going to chant 32 rounds every day without fail. And I did it. And the next day I don't have time to chant 32 rounds, so I'm going to chant 29 rounds. And the next day after that is 28, and then it's 16, then it's 15, and it's too difficult to chant. No, usually it's back to 16. Or I'm going to wake up at 2:30 every morning, and one does that for a while, and then it's 3 o'clock, then 3:30, and then luckily Mangalarti here is at 5. So inability to complete one's vows. But one, after a while, one becomes steady. He can come to Mangalarti, complete his rounds, do regulated devotional service, and then everyone thinks he's liberated. And that's called Taranga Rangini, enjoying the small waves of devotional achievement. Or as Prabhupada said, compare it to a big tree, a casta bush. You know what a casta bush is? It's a little bush that castor seeds grow on. You've heard of castor oil? Bitter oil. So there is a casta bush, and it looks like a little tree, but it's very small compared to a tree. So Srila Prabhupada said, in the absence of a big tree, a casta bush looks quite big. So in the absence of a great devotee, a Mahabhagavat, who's in transcendence, a devotee who's expert at being regulated in his activities and understands something of the other aspects of the devotional service, seems quite elevated. And this is all part of Anishtata Bhajana Kriya. So here, Arjuna is speculating. Should I fight? I shouldn't fight. But if I fought, then I might kill my relatives, and then I'll be unhappy. And if I run away, then I might be unhappy because everyone's going to criticize me. So Arjuna's quite confused. He wants to do the best thing for his happiness, and he doesn't know what it is. He doesn't know the secret of happiness. But here, Prabhupada said, he's quite fit for liberation because whatever he thinks he should do, that's what he's going to do. Usually people, if they find out what they should do, they don't do it anyhow. They approach an authority, inquire submissively, ask what to do, and when they find out what they're supposed to do, and if they don't like it, they don't do it anyhow. But Arjuna is different. If he knew what to do, then he would do it. So he's willing to do his duty, he just doesn't know what it is. And unless one can do his duty, then the mind can't be peaceful. Because ultimately, unless we know what our duty is, we're doing it, we'll always be wondering, why am I doing this? And if we're wondering, why am I doing this, maybe I should be doing something else, then our minds are unpeaceful, and then we can't hear how to do things better or in better consciousness. And if we don't know how to do things better, then we won't do it with devotion, with feeling. If we're unsure what we're doing and we're not trying to improve what we're doing in better consciousness, then there's no, without hankering, lamentation, then there's no question of devotion. And without devotion to something higher than our material conception, then there's no question of liberation from our material conception. So at least Arjuna is willing to do what he's supposed to do, and he was going to hear from Krishna, the best authority, and ultimately he was going to be, that knowledge, he was going to devote himself to it, do it with some devotion under Krishna's direction. So similarly, Tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadekshantite jnana jnaninas tatvadarshanaha. That one has to take a humble attitude approaching. In other words, if we think we know what we want to do, then there's no question of approaching anyone to inquire what we should do, because we just want to get the answer that we want. And if we don't get the answer we want, we just go to someone else and reject them. Just like I said, when we originally had our 11 acharyas after Srila Prabhupada left, then it was understood you could take Shiksha Gurus. So some of the devotees took Shiksha Gurus, but more or less based upon the fact that their Diksha Guru didn't eat certain foods like pizza or ice cream. But they could choose a Shiksha Guru, and they could offer the pizza and ice cream to the picture of the Shiksha Guru, and it would be offered. And if their Shiksha Guru renounced pizza and ice cream, they renounced their Shiksha Guru also, and found a more appropriate guru to take shelter of. So this kind of understanding of what our duty is and what our not duty is won't get us very far. We actually have to be inquisitive. What is Shreya Uttama? What is the highest purpose of life? What are we trying to achieve? And approach those who know about that and inquire from them how to mold my life, how to change my life in such a way as to reach the goal, the Shreya Uttama, the highest perfection of life. And we have to inquire, but inquire submissively. Shushusha Sharadanasya. Submissively means that we're ready to render service. We're not sitting there and we're trying to pick out what we like that confirms what we want to do. You say, all right, that's a good point. Well, what is he saying that for? Who does he think he is anyhow? He doesn't know anything. So that kind of like picking out what we like and rejecting what we don't like is not going to get us very far, if anywhere. Therefore, we should be prepared to follow the instructions, if they're valid, coming into simple succession, and render service according to what we've heard. So as I said, the background is everything belongs to Krishna. We're hearing about that. That's the final sambandha, is everything is actually Krishna's energy. And we should find out what Krishna wants us to do. So Arjuna had forgotten that everything is Krishna's energy. He's thinking that these are my relatives, this is my body, this is my army, this is mine, this is my and mine. So he forgot everything belongs to Krishna. But luckily he was going to hear from Krishna, and Krishna is going to tell him, I am the source of everything. From me the entire creation flows. That all things rest on me just like pearls strung on a thread. So he's going to get the sambandha from Krishna. Everything belongs to him. And Krishna is going to tell him what to do. He's going to say, fight. Kill those rascals. But do it for me. Not, oh wow, now I got a chance, I can kill all those rascals. I always wanted to see a little blood here and there. No, but he's going to fight because Krishna wanted him to fight out of devotion for Krishna. And he did it. He fought on behalf of Krishna, and therefore he became very dear to Krishna. Of course, he was always very dear to Krishna. But he was remaining in his constitutional position as being the servant of Krishna's servants. So similarly, that's why we're inquiring, to find out what is the truth. We'll find out the truth is everything is Krishna's energy, and that we should utilize it for Krishna's service. And if we accept that and do that to please Krishna, then we become conscious of Krishna. And when we become conscious of Krishna, simultaneously we'll become conscious of everything else. We'll become conscious of our own spiritual identity and everyone else's spiritual identity also. And then our life will become perfect. And if we don't see things like that, then we'll think, I'm this body, this is a man, this is a woman, this is my friend, this is my enemy, this is what I want to do, this is what I don't want to do, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. We'll just spend our whole life speculating. And if we accept Krishna's representatives, or representatives within our heart, and become a servant of them, and allow them to tell us what we should do, with consultation, we can also discuss things with them, what we're inspired to do. But ultimately, we should feel ourselves a servant of Krishna's servants, and that's what attracts Krishna to reveal himself. And if we want to do things independently without that feeling of being a servant to Krishna's servant, we can do so many things in this world, but we'll never go to the spiritual world. We'll never come to spiritual consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lecture. I had a thought or a question. You said, without regulation or duty, we cannot speak after that devotion, as our mind is quite weak, and we cannot work on the platform always on the duty. What to speak about the devotion? And so the question would be how to fix our mind stronger on the duty and then go to the... It's only about the gunas, or there's... I mean, I guess we have to go through the lower modes and...
Well, we don't have to go. We're already in some mode of nature. But we have to hear from our processes. We're not going through varna and ashram. We don't have the time. What we're doing is we're hearing how to surrender to Krishna. And we hear through his representatives what they want us to do in the service of Krishna, what they understand Krishna wants us to do in the service of especially the Sankirtan movement. And if we become willing to utilize our body, our minds, our words, our faith, our refuge in that service that was being described to us, then we become an instrument for Krishna. And that way Krishna becomes pleased and reveals himself to us. And as soon as we forget that we're the servants of the servants of the servants, and as soon as we don't fully engage ourselves in the service of Krishna, then there is room for Maya, and we become in the material concept of life. I am this body, and although I am performing devotional service, I want this, and I want that, and I need this, and I need that, and I'll only do the service if this happens, and I won't do it if this happens. We become conditioned devotees. Of course, then we have varnashram. We have a little bit of varnashram, so we don't fall down too much. So that we realize, you know, I'm a brahmacharya or I'm a householder, so I have some restraints. Even if I don't want to fully engage myself in pure devotional service, still even on the material platform I have restrictions. So as long as we keep those restrictions and make some attempt to surrender gradually, then we'll gradually make some progress. Yes.
Thank you. Yesterday you spoke about omniscience not being the required qualification of a guru to give qualified advice to omniscience to give qualified advice to a disciple. Krishna is in Bhagavad Gita.
What is that word, omniscience?
Omniscience, yeah.
What does that mean?
Omniscient.
Omniscient.
Yeah.
All knowing.
All knowing, yeah. Krishna is indicating in Bhagavad Gita, at least in two places, that pure devotee is omniscient in
really?
Some sense.
Really?
Yeah, in 15.
I read the Bhagavad Gita quite a number of times. I've never noticed that.
Fifteen, nineteen, and twelve, sixteen, something like that. That he knows the essence of all things. That's
Yo,
but the stronger statement is in 15 chapter.
Eva Masamudo Vanati Purushottama Sasarvavit Pajante Mam Sarvabhena Bharata. I think that's 15:19. Iti guyatamam shastram idan mikva maya naga etam budva budimasya krita kritas jabarata. So, let's see if this is.
No, I don't think so. It's one before last one.
That's 15:19.
Okay.
And that's 15:19 and 20. Whoever knows me is the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting, is the knower of everything. He therefore engages himself in full devotional service to me, O son of Bharata. Is that the one you're referring to?
Yeah.
This is the most confidential part of the Vedic scriptures, or a sinless one, is now disclosed by me. Whoever understands this will become wise and his endeavors will know perfection. So from that you take it that when it becomes omniscient,
That's my question.
He's the knower of everything.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if you knew everything, how disturbed you'd become?
But what that means, this verse then? What this verse means?
It means he knows the truth. He knows Krishna. Wherever he's situated, he sees everything perfectly. He sees everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. Doesn't mean he knows everything.
But to advise a disciple for example, in very specific circumstances, then some kind of this omniscience, or what's the word, should be present or not.
No, I mean, he knows whatever Krishna, as Prabhupada said, he knows whatever Krishna tells him.
Right. No, that's...
So he asks Krishna and Krishna tells him. So Krishna is omniscient. So he can tell him what Krishna thinks is appropriate.
So spiritual master is...
Well, Mahabhagavat, who's actually in touch with Krishna, now that because I gave some initiation, now I become directly in touch with Krishna. That's not the process. But one who's actually in touch with Krishna, he knows under all circumstances what's to be done because he can ask Krishna and Krishna can tell him. But he doesn't have to be in every atom. He can leave that up to Krishna. Otherwise, we get really crowded in there.
So, spiritual master is, if I understand correctly, on need to know basis in relation to Krishna.
Yeah, of course, Krishna will tell him as much as he has to know. He'll tell you too if you ask him.
Yeah, but
you may not listen.
I haven't got this experience yet.
That Krishna is talking to you?
Yeah, no, I mean, he's silent.
He is? And how are you remembering anything? Where is your remembrance coming from? Krishna must be giving you remembrance, otherwise where did you get it from? And sometimes if you don't remember something, why can't you remember it? It's coming from you. It's coming from somewhere else. It's coming from Krishna. Krishna's talking to every living entity. But because we don't recognize it, we don't give him the credit, therefore we think he's not.
Yes, Adipurusha Prabhu once said that devotees many times speculate, is it mine, or is it Paramatma? And he said, everything is Paramatma, it's giving you what you want. So it's we are all getting everything through one channel, Paramatma. Is this...
Well, Paramatma is telling us. He's not necessarily telling us he's fulfilling our desires. Just like if we want to kill someone, it's not that Paramatma wants us to kill the person. But if we want it, then he'll give us the intelligence how to do it. But he's not responsible. He's neutral. So if we want to remember Krishna, then Krishna will give us so much intelligence so we can remember him and forget Maya. And if we want to forget Krishna, then Krishna will give us so much intelligence that we'll never be able to remember him. And we'll always forget him. And we'll always remember Maya. But as all of Krishna says, from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. But if we try and remember him to serve him, then we'll become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, we'll be put under illusion. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.